Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. It's February 2013. Methamphetamine can be made from easily obtainable household goods. The labs in which it is commonly made pose significant health, safety, and financial risks to local communities and states. A team led by Carol Cha, an acting director in GAO's Homeland Security and Justice team, recently reviewed trends in meth lab incidents and the impact of certain approaches to reducing them. GAO's Jeremy Clucci sat down with Carol to talk about what they found.
What are some of the risks that neighborhoods and communities face from the presence of meth labs?
Sure. So first off, meth can be made using easily obtainable household goods and consumer products. And meth producers have found new and easier ways to make more potent meth using pseudoephedrine, an ingredient commonly found in over-the-counter cold and allergy medications. So these meth labs have wide-ranging impacts on healthcare, child welfare, and the environment, to name a few. The toxic chemicals and solvents involved in cooking meth can result in massive explosions and expose property and people, including children, to contaminants that are dangerous and costly to remove. DEA has spent nearly $147 million to assist on cleanup efforts since FY 2002. And meth lab burns and injuries can be far more serious than burns sustained through non-meth lab incidents. Oftentimes, meth burn patients don't have health insurance to cover these costs, which can exceed $2 million per patient. According to DEA data, over 21,000 children were reported affected by meth labs from 2002 to 2011. And in one example, Tennessee reported that over a five-year period, 1,600 children were placed into foster care at a cost of about $70 million.
The report talks about meth lab incidents. You mentioned burns and a few other examples. Can you talk about how you defined meth lab incidents for this report?
Sure. So incidents refer to labs, dump sites, and chemical and glassware seizures. And law enforcement agencies report meth lab incidents to the National Seizure System maintained by DEA.
And what trends in these incidents did your team identify as you looked at this issue?
Sure. So according to DEA data, lab incidents peaked in 2004 with over 24,000 incidents nationwide and then sharply declined to reach a low in 2007 of about 7,000. And law enforcement officials primarily attribute this to federal and state restrictions on purchases of pseudoephedrine products during that period. Since then, the number has steadily increased. At the end of 2010, incidents reached over 15,000. Law enforcement officials attribute this rising trend primarily to two factors. Number one, the emergence of a new technique called the one-pot method, which simplified the meth cooking process down to a single 2-liter plastic bottle, enabling addicts to cook their own meth. Factor number two, smurfing, the coordinated effort of groups of individuals to purchase the maximum legal allowable limit per person and then aggregate the purchases for cooking meth or sale to a meth cooker. And boxes of pseudoephedrine purchased for $7 or less can be sold between $30 to $100 a piece. We also found that the South and Midwest regions have significantly increased meth lab incidents overall as compared with the West and Northeast regions.
States and communities have taken different approaches to try and address this problem. You looked in particular at the impact of electronic tracking systems that some states have used to monitor pseudoephedrine sales. What did you find there?
Well, electronic tracking approach has not reduced meth lab incidents overall. However, it appears to be effective at enforcing sales limits and useful in law enforcement investigations of smurfing operations. We also looked at the pseudoephedrine by prescription-only approach used by two states at this time, Oregon and Mississippi, and this approach appears to have a strong association to a decline in incidents overall. The impact of this approach, however, is not generally known, and substantial changes in workload demands on healthcare providers to dispense pseudoephedrine prescriptions, among other things, have not been reported to date. The full impact on consumers is also not known.
Finally, for taxpayers concerned about the potential impact that meth lab incidents could have in their communities, what's the bottom line here?
So clearly, meth lab incidents pose significant public safety and health risks and financial burdens to the local communities and states in which they're found. While there is no silver bullet to addressing domestic meth production, the two approaches taken by some states in response have their own sets of pros and cons, which should be weighed. Ultimately, the adoption of either approach will be a trade-off decision.
To learn more, visit GAO.gov and be sure to tune in to the next episode of GAO's Watchdog Report for more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office.